Today we're going to be going into Luke, and we're looking at a very special person's life, actually, today. Let me get on to my personal PowerPoint. One of these days I'll put a PowerPoint up here, but I'm not ready yet. So hopefully we can get that going too sometime soon. Last week we were talking about how God works in darkness. Because the time of Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were dark times. A very tyrannical leader, a ruler over that area, he was a nasty guy. All right. And not only were they living in a society of darkness, but they also lived in a spiritual darkness because they haven't heard from God for over 400 years. That's a long time not to hear from God in any way. So they were living in a lot of darkness, but God showed himself watchful and faithful in that time to where they had a child that was going to prepare the hearts of his people once again to come back to him, and that was John the Baptist. John at that time, he got the Baptist later. Okay. Today, though, we're going to be looking at another life, Mary's life. But before I go into that, I just, you know, one thing about Christmas, it's a very special season. For my family, when I grew up, we had a tradition on Christmas. It's that there's no presents being put under the tree until late Christmas Eve, and there are no kids around. Just Santa and Mrs. Santa, actually. Santa and Mrs. Santa. So it was my mom and dad. Okay. So we had to go to bed and before they could ever start putting those presents out. And I remember one year, I might have been around 12 years old, and I was, for some reason, I was really hyped up that year. I just really had great expectations of a wonderful Christmas. And for my family at that time, you know, my family we're not really a lovey-dovey. We don't hug and kiss one another and all that stuff. We're just kind of, hi, how you doing? That type of thing. You know, we take care of one another. But my mom and dad always showed a lot of love to us through gifts. And so we're hoping, you know, oh, Christmas, oh, coming up, just waiting for all this. So I remember going to bed, and then, you know, it was kind of a, you know, it was hard for me to get to sleep, but after a while I got to sleep, and then my eyes popped open, and it's probably around six or before six in the morning on Christmas Day. And I don't do that very often, especially when I was a kid, okay? Those are special times, something big had to be happening. Well, then I got up, and I started walking down the hallway, and my mind just going, oh, what is this going to be like? I just feel like it's going to be a great Christmas this year. And as I came up to the folding door that led into the area where, you know, the Christmas tree was in our living room, I said, okay, I just have to do this. I said, I'm going to turn around backwards, and then I'm going to open a door. So I opened that door as I was going, I'll go through it backwards. So I went through it backwards. Then I turned around and I opened my eyes and I went, oh, I was overwhelmed. There is every size of package filling the whole living room, big, small, there's things up in the tree, all that stuff. I'm just going, oh, like that. It was just an amazing Christmas morning to see all of that. And it was just, you know, the gifts, you know, just how precious they were and just the love at that time. You just felt there's something special going on. And to a kid, it was really, really an exciting time for me. And I think my brothers, they were a little bit older. They might not have been so excited, but they did get some good things, I'm sure, too. So in Christmas, we have those high hopes and great expectations, even though we don't know, we don't really see it yet. You know, but there's a faith in that, you know, that there will be a great Christmas. You know, there's a hope, expectation for that. And as we're looking at Mary's life here in the first chapter, Luke, kind of get to know her a little bit too. You know, she was most likely a teenage girl at that time. Their custom back then, and the Jewish custom was a lot of these young girls were betrothed, that engaged to another, to a man, or some, maybe even another teenager, depending on the families, could be around 12 years old. And they're saying that Mary was probably around maybe 15 or 16 years old at this time. So it's, they're very young, a young teenager with with something huge that will turn the history of mankind around. And she's at the focal point of that, a teenager. So teenagers, don't think yourselves that God can't do something powerful through you, right? Because he can. He doesn't look at the age as much as he looks at the heart. She was engaged to a guy named Joseph at that time. She was a virgin. She was a servant girl. She was had very lowly status in society. You know, you're a teenage girl. I mean, I don't think you can get much lower than that. And maybe if you're younger than that, you probably have a lower status. Or if you're a leper or something like that. But as I read this scripture, something just struck me. It really struck me. Couple things. How beautiful Mary's faith was and how powerful it was. It just struck me. Struck me right then and there. I mean, I don't know how many times I've read this story every year, at least once. But it just struck me this time. You know, God honors that faith and he does great things through it. And we're going to be looking at what he does through that. But before we go on, let's pray and give this to the Lord. Father God, yes, we come before you amazed at your word because it is living. It is active. It is powerful because your Holy Spirit is moving even now. Yeah, we read these things and about these hundreds and if not thousands of years ago when this happened. The Lord is still. These truths and these principles still live on today. And your Holy Spirit moves today, just like in the days of Mary's life. Lord, you're still looking for people who have faith, who believe in you, who will trust in you. And you'll do great things through them. I pray that you'll open up our ears, our hearts, our minds, and that you will speak to us and teach us your ways and guide us and empower us to live lives that bring honor and glory to you. Bless this message, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So what is faith? I mean, I know probably all of you know this, but I thought I'd go over it again because it's a good reminder. Sometimes there might be something that you might have missed before. There's three verses I'm going to pull up here about faith. First one, I think everybody knows, Hebrew 11, right? The first verse says, you know, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. Kind of like that little child, 12-year-old boy walking backwards through those folding doors. You know, there's that sureness and there's that hope there, even though I didn't see it yet. First Peter, listen to this, what he says here in chapter 1, 8 and 9 says, though you have not seen him, talking about Jesus, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith. And do you know what that is? What is the goal of your faith? To go blow up somebody? What is it? Salvation. The goal of your faith is the salvation of your souls. So faith isn't just there for doing this and that and walking, you know, doing whatever you want and teaching about God or following God. But there's a goal to it. There's a goal to it. It's a salvation goal for our lives and hopefully the lives of others too around us. In Ephesians 2:8, one of my favorites, it says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. So it's by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Isn't that something? So it is actually, you can talk about faith, but it is a mystery. Because there's a mystery between God moving all around us all the time. He doesn't stop. He doesn't grow weary. Remember that verse in Isaiah? He's always working. He's working on our hearts. And us, and man, and ourselves, our individual, our free will choice to where God's heart and my heart or your heart somehow come together. And this faith, this gift, this wonderful gift of faith is given us. And this gift of faith has a goal, and the salvation of our souls. It's precious. It's a precious gift that we have. And looking at Mary's faith is wonderful. Let's look. I'm going to start reading this, starting at verse 26. It says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Well, let's stop right there. Highly favored. This is a lowly person in society. How did she get highly favored? Is that an irony? Somebody who is low in status, not even thought of, doesn't have any importance in society. Much at all. But yet, God, the creator of the universe, says, you're highly favored. You're highly esteemed in my sight. Well, how did that happen? It doesn't just happen because she's being a good person or that she's rich or anybody. You know, that doesn't happen from anything that we have really done as much as there's that one important thing. See, in Hebrews 11:6, it says this, without faith, it is impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if we put on our detective hats, we would understand this. Mary must have had faith for God to highly favor her. It must have been a precious faith. It must have been one of the faith like when Jesus was talking about the little children in Mark chapter 10, saying, you know, you have to, the only way you're going to get into the kingdom of God is if you come like a child, lowly, humble, trusting, weak, no status much at all. See, no one can come into the kingdom of God standing up. Nobody can come into the kingdom of God claiming it for themselves or earning it only one way, and that's stooped low and humble with a faith like Mary's. It's wonderful, a faith like a little child. And then as we go on here, it says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words, and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Isn't that kind of strange? Because if you turn to go back a little bit, look at Zechariah, he was gripped by fear at the presence of the angel. It's like he had no clue that that was going to happen, and he was going, whoa, you know, he's pretty much falling backwards, almost dead. That type of fear. But Mary doesn't seem to be that way, does she? But she's troubled by his words. Highly favored. Whoa, I'm nobody. Why am I highly favored by the creator of the universe? She's troubled by that. I really believe that she had such a close walk, that wonderful faith, a humble faith before God that allowed her not to be overwhelmed by that vision of this powerful angel. And I can't even understand the description of that angel. I'm not even sure. But he said before in Zechariah, when he was talking to Zechariah, he says, you know, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. Yeah, that's pretty powerful. It's pretty wonderful. So you can see a little bit about Mary already. You know she has a strong faith in God, walking closely, that not even a vision of an angel would cause her to be terrified by the presence of the angel, but more surprised by his words. Mary's M.O. is kind of interesting. You know, the M.O., the modus operandi, you know, the things that you just kind of do, you're part of your personality. Well, she was a ponderer. She treasured things in her heart. She wasn't one of those guys who have quick decision stuff of that. She heard the words. She was a deep, you know, when you ponder, you're thinking, you're weighing things in your mind, in your heart. Quietly, soberly, slowly. Taking it in. In Luke 2:19, you know, she pondered what the, when the shepherds came in there, the shepherds, when they saw the angels and telling about, you know, Jesus, you know, this, he's going to be this great, you know, he's going to be our Savior. And Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And later on, in chapter 2, verse 51, when Jesus was a little bit older, a child around 12, going into the temple of God, and they didn't know where he was, and then they finally found him. And he told him, you know, well, I'm in my Father's house. Why wouldn't you expect me to be here? And so she treasured these things up in her heart. That's just who she was. So I have to believe as she listened to the words spoken from Gabriel, this angel, that she was pondering and thinking about what he was saying. Listen to this. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid. So he's reassuring her. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to name him, give him the name Jesus, which is our Savior. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Wow. So I got a feeling she's just taking that in, going, oh, what is this coming about? But then I also believe that she was thinking about, what if this really does happen? I'm a virgin, going to be betrothed. I'm engaged to this guy. If I show myself to become pregnant, people are going to think that I'm an adulterer. And with that, there's going to be shame. With that, most likely she'll lose her betrothed. Most likely she might even be ostracized from her family. And even a possibility of being put to death, because punishment, the law was, if you were an adulterer, you were supposed to be stoned. Though they didn't carry out that law very often. So there is some heavy punishment, a lot of consequences to this. I got a feeling as she was listening to Gabriel speak, you know, you're going to have this child and he's going to be great. He's the Savior. He's going to be the Savior, the Messiah. But she was also thinking about, oh, if this happens to me, what, you know, she's pondering. She's weighing it. She's going, is it worth it? Is it worth it? I'm not sure. So her faith is a very thoughtful faith. Very thoughtful, I believe. And her faith is also humble and sincere. A humble and sincere faith, because listen to what she says next. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin, how will this be? It's not really like, oh, this is no way. This can't happen. It's not going to happen to me. You can't do this. No, it's like she's curious. How will this be? I'm a virgin. How am I going to be with child? How are you going to do this? If you look back at Zechariah, he asked a question when Gabriel was talking to him, and he said this, "How can I be sure of this?" That's a little bit more harsher. It ended him up in trouble, right? He became mute. The angel said, "You don't believe?" He didn't believe, really, that God would give them a child. Old in age, my wife is barren. You're going to do this? How can this be? It's kind of like Gideon, where he had to have two or three fleece to God just to make sure God was going to go before him to defeat the enemies. He had to keep on coming, testing God. Here, would you do this? Would you do this? Or like Thomas, when he says, "No, I don't believe you guys. Jesus didn't rise up from the dead. I got to see him. I got to touch those scars." But Mary wasn't like that. She's going, "Oh, this is amazing stuff. How is this going to be?" And then the angel talks to her and tells her. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month." Wow. See, Mary knows that she's small. In fact, she knows that she's insignificantly significant, as we've heard before. Insignificantly significant. Very small. But still something there. Just like every one of us who take that same type of status in our lives with God, knowing that we are small. She can't do it on her own. And she knows this is bigger than her. But she's listening as the angel speaks, and she's still weighing it out. How is this going to be? And then the angel came up with this at the end there as he was talking. He said this. He said, "You know, Mary," he said something. He just said, "For nothing is impossible with God." And I got a feeling when Mary heard that, it's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever been on a sports team or something like that, but you get a coach and they're just going, "Hey, come on, you could do it. Come on, look, we got this. I got all these plans. We got it. We got this. We're going to win this game. Just get out there and do it. Just get out there and do it. That's all you have to do is get out there and do your best, and we're going to win this." I got a feeling just like what Mary heard from that angel when he said, "With God, nothing is impossible, Mary." And now her heart is really going, "Okay, all right, what do you got? Okay, we're starting going now." Now her faith is moving just from not just from being thoughtful and humble and sincere. Now her faith is actually courageous, a powerful faith. Because listen to this. This is her answer. Okay, she weighed it all in her heart. She heard that nothing is impossible to God. Probably reminded her of all those things she read in the past, in the Korah, just current, just and listen, all that, all those stories of what God did so powerfully in the past for her people. And then she says this, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered, "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. It's like, okay, I waited all. I know there, oh, I'll probably lose my husband to be. I'll probably be ostracized. I'll probably lose a lot of family support. I'll be living in shame. But I just cannot resist this opportunity. You've given me the greatest gift of all, faith, and I'm going to walk it. I'm going to put the walk to the talk now. Yes, do it. I'm ready. Let's see this great thing happen. I want to be part of it. That's Mary. See, if you ever go back into the book of Hebrews and that chapter 11, chapter of the faith heroes, right? The heroes of the faith, these guys like the Noahs who built this big ark. God commanded them to build a big ark. Not by an ocean, not by a sea, just out there. But he did it by faith. Abraham walked with God, waiting 25 years from the point where God says, I'm going to give you a child, Sarah. And you're going to have descendants that can't even be counted like the sands of the sands on the seashore or the stars of the sky. And Abraham just kept on going, even though 25 years was a long time, a lot of things. And then when he finally got his son, ooh, yes, thank you, God. And then when God says, go sacrifice your son, he raised a knife, and he was ready to end his son's life. And just as he was ready to make the motion, God said, stop. Stop. Now I know where your heart is. This is the most precious gift I have given you. You waited 25 years for this, and you're ready to give it up for me? Oh, my. That's faith. And God provided the lamb. Faith is so precious. You know, they didn't mention Mary in there, but Mary should be there. Okay. And many others. We can go on and on. And we think about people in our times too, people walking by faith. Even people right here in the sanctuary here, right here in our church, are walking by faith in a way that's pleasing to God. And he's doing great things through you, greater than you ever know. And you won't know until we all get into heaven. And then sometimes you will know, because he's going to do it so great that people are going to see it, just like in the days of Mary, when she gave birth to the Savior of the world. It's awesome. You know, God has these plans for each one of us, and some will show up sooner than others, and some will be what we think is greater, but to God, the first will be last, and the last will be first. So don't think that just what you're doing, sitting in a foxhole and taking care of your area in that World War II and Bastogne area and trying to just stay alive, and they told you to stay there and keep the enemy away, and you think pretty soon I'm just going to get plowed under by one of these Panzer tanks. Then all of a sudden, here comes General Patton, a third army rolling in and taking out the Germans. But everybody in those foxholes spread out all over the place, they had to do their part. Didn't think it was much going on. But they didn't know that they were part of something bigger going on that gave them victory. Victory out of the hands of defeat. It's amazing what God can do by those who are faithful in saying yes. So what are we going to do with this? Well, first of all, I'm going to say be ready. I don't care what your age is. Be ready. She was a teenage girl. Nothing should happen at that age, really, right? Oh, somebody that's in their 50s or 30s or 80s, 90s. Oh, no way. God can't do it. My life is done. Wrong. See, when God sees our hearts and he has that part for us, he just wants us to be ready. Be ready to say yes. Be ready to be available for what he's going to do. It might be just a simple write a letter or an email or go across the street and say something to this person that you never met before, or maybe it's somebody that isn't a very nice person and you haven't had a good relationship with that person. Or maybe it's something more. Maybe it's something different from that. Maybe it's just standing firm in a faith and being a pillar in your family of showing them how it is to walk with Christ, because all they're doing is walking in darkness. They have no foundation to stand on. But you do. And you be that pillar. That's what God's calling us to do. Say, be ready. Yeah, there's pain coming. There's probably a lot of suffering and struggle. You know, this life, you're going to face it. Mary was ready for it. And she's called most blessed. Most blessed. Another thing, not only be ready, but no fear. Do you remember Bo Jackson, that Nike commercial? I don't know. I don't want to age myself too much, but back sometime. And this guy was a great running back, okay, young guys. He was a great running back. He was one of the fastest, most powerful running backs in all of the NFL's history. And if he didn't get injured, he would have set records. But this guy had a commercial, no fear. Don't fear anything. Well, the angel said, no fear. Don't fear. God's saying to each one of us, don't fear. Go forth in that faith that he's given us. Allow him to work in the struggles and in the good times and move us to a stronger relationship like a Mary, to where we are low. We should be at a humble position before God at all times and allow him to be great through us, through our weaknesses that were where he is strongest. See, we lack nothing. What are we afraid of? We lack nothing. When we have Christ, we have every spiritual blessing. We have all those riches. We have this great hope and future waiting for us. And it's there, just like that little boy going through those folding doors. You know, those packages were there. I just didn't know it until I turned around. Same thing for each one of us. We got it. It's there. It's just we're not yet there yet. We haven't yet turned around yet. It's not our time. So we don't have to fear anything. We just need to do what he asks and follow him and be available. See, in Matthew 10:39, it says, whoever finds his life will lose it. Let me say that again. Whoever finds his life will lose it. That is a weird thing, isn't it? But I really think it's really saying, when we think we got everything in this world and we got building our own kingdom, we got everything going good and stuff like that, you're really going to lose the true life, because this life here is temporary and you can't take it with you. But then he goes further on. He says this, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. One more time. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Humble. Lowly. Trusting. That's what he's looking for. And we will find that life in him. So, third thing. Cherish this gift of faith, because it is precious, that you have been chosen, that your heart met with God's heart. It is not anything to throw away, like those wrappings when you undo the presents and you just throw everything away. Our faith is precious, more precious than gold and silver, it says there. Very precious. See, there's nothing more precious to me than when I can talk to others about Jesus and about sharing them with the good news, what Jesus did for everybody, died for us, rose again to give us life, to take away our sins. That's why he was born. That's what we celebrate here. He came to die for us, to bring us back to his Father. He's the only way. We need him. And when we tell others about him and see their eyes lighten up just by the fact of who God is and what he's done in our lives, that's one of the greatest riches I ever receive. Just watching them go, what? And I don't know if they're going to receive Christ or not, but they have heard the good news. How precious that is. How precious it is to encourage your brother and sister in Christ. Pray for them. Listen to them. Give them words of comfort in their times of pain and suffering. It's more wonderful than any Rolls Royce car or any job that has triple figures, many figures in it. Doesn't mean you can't go after those things and do it, but life is more than that. So I'll leave you with this. Excuse me. The gift of faith is the most wonderful gift that anyone can have. Walk in it and be a blessing to others in it. Let's pray. Father God, again, we come before you in awe of who you are, that you even love us or even care about us, but you do. We thank you for this word. We thank you for that mysterious working of that our hearts and your hearts that brings about that faith that moves mountains. And even more difficult than that, moves hearts to you. Lord, the goal of our faith is the salvation of our souls, and we want to see many more souls being saved. Help us be faithful in our walk with you so others can see you through us and be drawn out of that darkness and into your light, your kingdom of light, where true life is. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for Mary's example of what faith looks like, a faith that you honor and do great things through. Praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of his people say, amen.